Mark chapter 4, I was saying to leaders last night that I got some revelation from the Lord, and then I said, this is good, I want to preach it somewhere, and the Lord said, you can't, it's not for anywhere yet. So I arrived here, and then I started praying, and the Lord says, this is for Camden, and then I went out and ate with Brother Jerry and his wife, and went to his house. We were talking, and he said, I'm not going to tell you anything. I said, good, because I don't want that from any pastor. But he started saying some things, and a few of these scriptures started coming out of his mouth. I really knew I had the confirmed word of God. Amen. And so this is not a pastoral exposition, you know, feeding the sheep every week, you know. But this is hopefully a prophetic explosion where seeds are going to be activated that you're going to carry this year and into your future. I want to talk about going to the other side. God is a God on the move. I said, God is a God on the move. And I sure don't want to be where God was. I want to be where God is. Because he's not the great I was, he's the great I am. And he's not the great I'm going to be. I am present. And in Mark chapter 4, verse 35, the same day when the evening was come, he said to them, let's pass or let's go to the other side. God's word to you this year is you're going to the other side. God's word to you this year is there's forward progress to go from grace to grace, faith to faith, and glory to glory. Do you want to be a people that goes to the other side? Do you want to be a people that break out of where you are to where God wants you to go? Now, usually I get a few people upset in the South. I'll try for more. But anyhow, usually I get a few people upset. But since my father, before we moved to Europe, was born in raised and born in Mississippi, and met my mama in what used to be Virginia. It's called West Virginia now. Hallelujah. I know something of Southern culture, and I know there's enough religious devils that keep people coming to church but never changing. That thing has to break in the spirit world. I said, that devil has to break in the spirit world. And I don't want to go to church. I want to be the church. I don't want to get touched. I want to be transformed. I don't want to shuck and jive. I want to be real. Now, we're going to talk about going to the other side, because what exactly this means, we need to get a clear understanding. I've talked to people before. What would the preacher talk? What did the preacher say today? Well, it was good. That'd be like, what'd your wife make you? Well, it tastes good. I'm not sure what it was. But God wants us to be not just hearers of the word, but doers. And to be doers, we've got to really grasp what God's saying. Because I want to say this, these in every area is different. I was just in New York before I came here. Man, you'd almost need a translator hearing those people. Dog, that means dog. Coffee, that's coffee. They don't have grits, so you can't translate that. But anyhow, girl went from Louisiana up there to Manhattan, center of New York City, and said, sir, I'd like some sweet tea. And he said, lady, we don't call no one sir here, and we don't have no sweet tea. So it's a bit of a cultural divide. Hallelujah. But up in New York, there are some demons I go after all the time, like pride and control. It's different. The spirit realm's different. How many know the spirit realm is different in every area? Spirit realm. So there's a spirit realm that a lot of people in North America don't have a clue about. Maybe that's why churches don't grow. But I want to tell you, there's a spirit realm that God wants us to learn how to master. Rather than be dominated, God wants us to be the head and not the tail, Deuteronomy 20. God wants us to master the spirit world. And to teach some of this stuff in North America, people say, this is sounding weird. But when I go to places like I'm going in a few weeks, like in Nepal and Bhutan and Cambodia, they all believe and they all understand the spirit world in a very in-depth, intelligent way. Maybe that's why their churches are growing in the millions. Because Jesus understood the natural world is controlled by the invisible world. He knew how to enter into the natural world and be, a very practical person. He was a carpenter. He knew how to live and put up with his family, too. Hallelujah. All that drama. Amen. And yet at the same time, he knew how to enter into the spirit and live a supernatural life and go to the other side, not just by himself, but bring his disciples. And God doesn't want babies. God wants disciples. God wants believers to grow up and reproduce and mentor and care. Amen? God wants people to go where Jesus goes in deeper dimensions of what he wants to do in this generation. God tells this church, this is the year to go to the other side. If you remember the other year when I spoke on endurance, you needed that word when all hell broke loose and when the enemy tried his worst. Are you glad you have endured? Not just endured, you won. And now God is telling you, it's time to go to the other side. And let's see exactly what this means. When he had sent away the multitude, may I say this, not all people are going to go the other side. Jesus had the 12, and in the 12 he had the 3, and in the 3 he had the 1, and then he had the 70. They were probably his Bible school students, you know, giving ministry and everything. But then he had the multitudes. Those are those who got healed and blessed and heard, but lack of relationship and lack of an in-depth discipleship. Eventually that would change, not through him, but through his disciples, when they planted the kingdom all over Jerusalem and all over then the Middle East. But the multitude, he sent them away, and they went into a ship, and there are other little ships. And here's the thing I want to tell you about going to the other side, because this is spiritual, but it's natural too. We don't get there because we know how to navigate the waters to get there. More than ever before, I am dependent upon the Lord. I said, more than ever before, I'm dependent upon the Lord. I don't go by my experience. I go by every word that proceeds from the mouth. I need a fresh word of God. I need to hear from God. I need to walk with God, because I'm not going to get, and you're not going to get to the other side just because you're very skilled at getting on a boat and turning on the motor or getting those oars and getting there by yourself. Because where God brings us, we need him on board to get there. The work of God is always beyond us. That's why it's the work of God. You need the grace of God. You need the anointing of God. You need the word of God. You need the people of God. You don't get to the other side in independence. You got to get off some of your religious clothes, and you got to be clothed in Christ. I was in this church, let's just say it was in Connecticut, since it was, knock on my door. Someone says, I need to know this, sir. I said, what? What title do you go by? Bishop, apostle, prophet? To go down the line. I said, how about Bill? I said, it's good enough for my mama and it's good enough for me. Hallelujah. They almost passed out, but that took care of that one. You see, I know how not to go to the other side. I know what to be a part of that's going to guarantee you're going down and not over. Do you want to go to the other side? Do you want to get rid of stuff that would hinder you from going to the other side? Do you want to cause, like Acts 27, when they were on board, they started throwing out all the excess stuff that was on that was going to hinder them from getting out of what they were in? You know, if you study Acts 27, when they're in that horrible storm and Paul was on board that ship, one of the things they threw off was the tackling of the ship. And that's old English for the steering mechanism of the ship. My goodness, what they were saying, if we're going to get out of this, God and God alone is going to bring us through. Are you at that place that you realize where you got to go, God's got to get you there? And rather than try to be smart and be cute and be everything else, we're going to just throw ourselves on the grace of God and say, God, take me to the other side. Take me to the other side in my marriage. Take me to the other side with my children. Take me to the other side in my business. Take me to the other side in my ministry. Take me to the other side. Can we say today, Father God, take me to the other side? Can we mean what we're saying? You know, a rut is a grave with two ends kicked out. That's what happens when we don't go to the other side. May the Spirit of God let this burn in us. We're going to the other side. And we're going to see what that means and what it fully means in a minute here. Notice this, verse 37. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat in the ship, and it was now full. And the Lord was asleep in the ship. Imagine that. If you're not facing opposition, you're not going to the other side. If you're not into something only God can get you out of, you're not going to the other side. I had one of the greatest missionaries and church planters in the world in my home last December, and he was a basket case. Of course, if I had the pressure that was over his life, I'd be too. He's got a little bit of pressure on him with 6,000 churches and 3,000 orphans, and he needs $100,000 a month that there's no way it's going to come in. He needs a miracle every month or he's going to go down. I mean, he knows what storms are all about. And he said, Bill, I'm maxed out on my credit cards, $300,000, and we owe $1 million on top of that. There's no way I can get out of this. He was like almost incoherent. And I was telling him, Ted, God's brought you there and you have all this. God's not going to let you go down. May I say this? In whatever storm you're going to face to go to the other side, you're not going down, you're going over. You're not going down, you're going over. That's got to get deep on the inside, because dear people, to go to the other side, I want to tell you, in past experiences mine and previous experience yours and future experience in yours, you need God to keep the wind under you and not over you, driving you down. You need God keeping you from having a boat that's so leaky, the next thing you notice, you're in fellowship with fishes. So here's this guy sitting in my home needing $1 million and $300,000. And I was speaking faith to him and telling him it's going to move. And I tell him what I sensed in the spirit. And I called this old prophetess she wouldn't like to hear that. But in North Carolina, she comes from a real big metropolis where they don't even have a street light in the city, in the town. It's whatnot. You get through it, you wondered what's not right. But anyhow, she comes to this real hick, small town. And you know, that woman gave him the word of the Lord. And I want to tell you, before the new year struck, according to the word of the Lord, that $1 million came in and his credit cards were paid off. He went to the other side on the word of the Lord. And may I say this, we go to the other side on the word of the Lord. We don't go to the other side being nice little church people. To the other side. I had this pastor up in New Hampshire. You want to talk about winter. You guys don't know what winter is. You almost need a guard dog to get out of your house sometime with that snow up there. Anyhow, he got up and said, now, I want you to know, I found out he did it the week before I got there. Bill's not a pastor. You know, he's going to be a real type of word. And, you know, you be ready. This is not a pastoral word. So I got up and he introduced me. I said, well, today I'm going to give you a pastoral word. That went over like a lead balloon. But anyhow, I'm not here to give you a pastoral word. I'm not here to counsel you. I'm not here to shake everyone's hand and ask how your kids, grandkids, and cats doing. That's not my anointing or calling. But I'm here to give you faith in the spirit realm to go to the other side. I'm here to break you out of some traditions you don't even know you have. Oh, hallelujah. I'm here to tell you there's a culture that's foreign to every other culture. It's called the kingdom. And that kingdom is not going to pass away, regardless who's in the White House or in your house. There's an eternal kingdom. How many glad we're a part of a government that's never going to pass away? Oh, yes, Lord Jesus, with the crooks in our government, I'm glad there's no crook that gets in that government. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. And there may be an oil crisis in this nation, but there's never going to be an oil crisis in that nation, because the oil we're talking about is the Holy Ghost. Oh, hallelujah. Let's pass. Let's go to the other side. Can we say with Jesus, can we agree with his word this morning? We are going to the other side. We are going to the other side. We as a corporate body are going to the other side. And yes, storms will come, but the storm that would sink a lot of other people are going to give us the inertia to get to the other side. Like Joseph said, what you meant for evil, God meant for good. What the enemy meant to take you down is the thing that God used to take you where you're supposed to be. What the enemy tried to do to overwhelm you with waves of sorrow, waves of opposition, all of a sudden put spiritual steel on the inside of your inner man. So when you face things that would cause others to crumble, you just walk over it like it's a little tiny obstacle in your way, because you've been through that before. And you know, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. You're going to the other side. You know, Jesus was asleep in the middle of all that storm. Have you ever been in something so big, you know, it's beyond you getting out of it, and it seemed like God is not there? He's decided to sleep, and there's no alarm clock you can wake him up. Where are you, God, when this accident happened? Where are you when these kids went out? Where are you? Well, I'll tell you, God is there. You just don't recognize why he's not responding immediately to your cry. We learn the ways of God when we go to the other side. We learn the ways of God in the midst of intense storms. Acts 27, when Paul was in something so intense, he said, all hope that we should be saved was taken away from us. When you're in something, if God doesn't get you out of it, you aren't getting out of it. You begin to find out that without any of your help, God is more than able to rule from his throne. Let's go to the other side. Notice, don't you care, Master, that we perish? We begin to really discover that God does care when all our human efforts fall apart. You know, that kid addicted to drugs, that kid out in immorality, that kid, the family fall apart. You find the everlasting compassion and care of God in the midst of your deepest pain and need. Are you glad God truly cares today? I'll tell you that. God truly cares. I said God truly cares. God truly cares. I got an SOS from a pastor and an apostle in Russia. Called me, and there was one of his most spiritual people in the church, a woman with her, a single parent with her daughter. Her husband took off with another woman, you know, nightmare. He was a devil, used to beat her daughter and on and on and on. She called me, and through him, in their broken English, that her daughter had gotten pregnant and on and on. And I said, look, this is going to reverse. It's going to turn around. God cares. I'm glad God cares in the midst of human failure. Because here was human failure. They didn't believe that God cared. But I'm glad God cares when we don't know he cares. I'm glad God cares when others don't know he cares. I'm glad God doesn't change whether we think he's alive or asleep in our life. God cares. And he cares because he loves us like we are, but he loves us too much to leave us like we are. He cares. And it's not a conditional love. If you never do anything else for God, God still loves and cares for you. Because I am the Lord, I change not. So here's this parent calling me in distress. And I said, God's going to turn this around. I thank God that pregnant young lady is now married to a wonderful worship leader. And they're getting ready to be ordained as youth pastors. I'm glad God cares. I said, I'm glad God cares. When he takes the other side, I'm glad what we went through in personal failure, it can become a weapon against the enemy when he attacks from another angle in other people's life. Because hear me, I had a kid that got pregnant outside of marriage. And I knew what it was to think, God, you've abandoned me and this storm is too much. I'm glad God turned that thing around. I'm glad we serve a God who takes us to the other side. I'm glad we serve a God who stills the wind and the waves. And you know what he said? He arose and rebuked the wind and the sea and said, peace be still. You know, in the Greek language, you know what it says? I like this. He rose and rebuked the wind and the waves and said, shut up! There are some things we need to say shut up to. Not telemarketers, though that's tempting. Hallelujah. Jesus knew how to take dominion. I said Jesus knew how to take dominion. And he wants us to take dominion. You see, that's the thing. Why didn't he awake? Because he was giving them opportunity to awake to the occasion. I tell you, he just doesn't want to do it all. He wants to share the throne with us. Because when God created mankind, he said, have dominion over the whole earth. God created us to be the vessels through which he would do his work and build his kingdom on the earth. And many times we're asking God to do for us what he wants to do through us. Moses, stretch out your rod, and the sea opened up. It was Moses acting and God backed up his actions. Then he said, hey guys, why are you so afraid? There was such great calm. What does we see here? Jesus wasn't controlled by the atmosphere. He made the atmosphere. He dominated the atmosphere. Peace be unto you. Peace be still. When the Lord came anywhere, in the natural and in the spirit, everything changed Because here was God in human flesh, though in his humanity, he walked by the same spiritual principles he longs for us to walk in and walk by, and he wants to take us to the other side for this reason. Notice this, Mark 5. And when they came over to the other side of the sea, unto the country of the Gadarene, when they came out of the ship, immediately there met him a man out of the tombs. This guy had, verse 9, a legion, that's 6,000 spirits. Would we say that's pretty demonic? I mean, hear me. This was the most demonic situation that Jesus ever dealt with, apart from what he dealt with in the wilderness when he faced the devil head on. But in a man, this was the most intense deliverance case, most darkened human being that Jesus ever dwelt with. So what does this teach us about going to the other side? God, by bringing us to the other side, is going to anoint us and appoint us to do exceedingly abundantly above what we've ever done before. There is a breakthrough when you go to the other side. There is increased authority when you go to the other side. There's expecting God to be the God of miracles when you go to the other side. There is not business as usual when you go to the other side. It's God taking you to a new grace, a new place. Change. You know, someone talked about change. And I'm not talking about demonic change. Because I've seen people change for the worst. How many have seen some people change for the worst? I've seen our nation change for the worst. But I believe there's coming some supernatural change. I said, I believe there's coming supernatural change. And I've always liked to see God bring supernatural change. Because how many have heard my son minister? Can I see your hands? My son David. All right. I remember him, 3-year-old boy with his little ukulele. We thought, oh, isn't that cute? He'd be playing his little song and say, one day I'm going to pastor a black church. Huh? 3 years old. We thought it was cute. Then he goes to Russia. And then he kept telling me, one day I'm going to have a black church. He moved to East Europe, married his wife. I said, David, that's not going to happen. You don't realize the racism and the this and the that. Dad, one day I'm going to have a black church. I thought he was just talking flesh. That's how unspiritual I was. Hallelujah. And then Russia became very dangerous for Africans to go there. They used to go there for education. They all got sent to Eastern Europe. My son's city is the biggest university town in Eastern Europe. All these Africans got sent to Cluj, Romania, and David opened an international church full of Africans. So our family was used to break racial barriers, not by acting like, oh, we love you, but bringing people in and getting them healed and getting them delivered. And getting them to know God, and it's such a phenomenal thing. And now some of those precious African girls and guys, they're becoming lawyers, they're becoming doctors, they're going to be future leaders of their nation. I thank God when you go to the other side. I thank God when you have a vision that doesn't die. It's going to change the world. So when I hear some of this malarkey in this nation, I want to tell you, I want change that's God's type of change. I don't want change that's demonic type of change. I want God change. How many want God change in your life? Oh, hallelujah. I want to go to the other side where we stop dealing with symptoms and get to the source. I want to go to the other side when we get out of the little leagues and get into the major leagues in God. I want to go to the other side when we stop going to the hospitals and start emptying the hospitals. I want to go to the other side when we stop having riots in this nation and start having revival in this nation. I want to go to the other side. And here's the good news. It's not my idea to tell you to go to the other side. It's coming here this week, the first time I've ever preached this. Therefore, I believe it's tailor-made, and you need to put on your spiritual clothes and say, I'm going to the other side. I'm going to stay off every boat that doesn't float. Oh, hallelujah. You know, my daughter-in-law grew up under communism, and she has her master's degree, on and on and on. But one day she turns on television and hears some of these politicians in America talking. She turns to me and she said, Papa Bill. I said, what, mija? She said, they're communists. I pray we have some brains as American Christians that can get some discernment, because when you go the other side, you're not going to be listening to these lying devils deceive you and lead you into bondage and lead you out of the anointing and lead you into corruption. I tell you, God's going to put people in American government that are going to be used of God to break down these filthy demonic things, because the church in America one day is going to go to the other side. Say, are you political? Well, since God is, I have to be. Since He's the King of kings, and His kingdom is going to rule over every other king, I got to be. Not when Jesus comes, but right now, He's King of kings and Lord of lords, and I want to walk with Him over to the other side. I do not want to be in little leagues. I'm not going to be part of the riots. I'm going to be part of the revival. And I started my ministry in the inner city, so I know both sides of that. I want to tell you, I never had trouble in the inner city. I had a lot of trouble in the suburbs, though. I tell you, when people are desperate, their heart is open. I said, their heart is open. Oh, hallelujah. Do you want to go to the other side? Do you want to go out of the realm of what man can do into the realm of what only God can do? Do you want to get out of the boat that you've made float into the boat that God makes float? When God builds something, example, the Ark of Noah, it's never going to fall apart. Regardless what winds and waves come. I tell you, when you're a God-built life, regardless what winds or waves come against you, regardless what falls apart, what people do, what the enemy does, I'm glad all things work together for good. Not all things are good. All things work together for good. Are you going to go to the other side? Are you going to get off the boat of what you've been on and step into new dimensions that God has for you as a people? This guy got delivered. They were feeding some pig there. Now, this is interesting. They were the Gadarenes. In one generation, if you go back, we're going to go there in a minute. They said to the Israelites that left Egypt with them, they were one of the tribes, the tribe of Gad. They said, hey, look, this is great land here. We want to stay here and raise our cattle, but we will go with you and fight the battles in the promised land and come back. So they left their women and cattle there, and they went and fought the battles and came back. They were raising cattle. A few generations later, when Jesus comes, they weren't raising no cattle anymore. They were raising pigs. So that lets us know, well, we can tamper and compromise, because God didn't want any of His people living outside of Canaan land. We can get right to the border of things, not fully enter in, just, get in, but not get in all the way. We may go on and sing our songs when we all get to heaven, but I want to tell you, in the generations to come, our descendants won't be raising cattle anymore. They'll be raising pigs. And pigs in the Bible typify demonic forces. And isn't it amazing, in verse 13, when Jesus cast out these devils, they entered into the pigs. And they were drowned in the sea. Anything Satan gets a hold of is destroyed. And they that fed the swine fled and told it to the city. And they came to see what was done. And they came and saw Jesus. And the guy's totally set free in his right mind. They were afraid. And they asked him, verse 17, to get out of that area. And when he was coming to the ship, and he that had been full of the devil asked him, begged him that he might go with him. Verse 19, Jesus said, no, go home and tell your friends how many great things the Lord's done in you and had compassion. And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things the Lord did. Now, I looked up that word Decapolis. You know what it means, Elaine? I know you're checking different words, that's jewels and everything else. But anyhow, you know what I found out? The word Decapolis means 10 cities. All of a sudden, it wasn't just going to be Jesus locally. The influence of the Lord would spread way beyond what it normally had. And may I say, when you as a people go to the other side, your influence is going to supernaturally be spread. God says influence is going to spread. I said influence is going to spread. Let's go to the book of Joshua, chapter 1. We're going to throw together two sermons in one here today. Hallelujah. You guys like to eat here, I notice. So you go really eat now. Hallelujah. But God told them to go the other side, and they went to the other side, and the supernatural became way increased, and the influence spread far and wide, And God just didn't want a local thing. He wanted this thing to take over. You know, I'll say this. We've got to go to the other side or there's dangers. And let's look in Joshua chapter 1. Have you heard this statement? Those are awful big shoes to fill. Can you imagine being Joshua? Moses was dead. And God says, Josh, you're going to lead my people into the promised land. And I know the greatest prophet that ever walked the face of the earth fell and failed. So you're going to take over for his unfinished ministry. I believe I would have some knees in fellowship shaking like, you know, in my boots, because Joshua was going to be given an assignment that the previous generation had declined to fulfill. They had refused to go to the other side. And look in verse 2. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore rise and go over this Jordan, you and all this people, unto the land that I'll give you, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread on, I've given you. God was telling him, go to the other side. And yet the generation before, they had been brought to the border of the promised land, and they sent out 12 spies. And it's been said, God so loves the world that he didn't send a committee. They sent 12 spies, and 10 of them came back. And this is one of the things we have to really run from if we're going to the other side. They came back with an evil report. Have you ever received an evil report? You're going to die. Your home is helpless. You weren't educated, so you can't have this job. You live in the wrong part of town. You say if you're in Africa where we have real connection, you're from the wrong tribe, your wrong social status, Asia, you're the wrong nation. America, you're the wrong race. You don't have enough money. I want to tell you this. I'm not going to buy into any evil report. Because our God can take a baby from a manger and make him Lord God Almighty over the nation. Our God can take us from the side of poverty to the side of prosperity. Our God can take us from the side of witchcraft to the side of the anointing. Our God can take us from a destroyed nation into a Holy Ghost nation. I'm going to believe in the God who takes us to the other side. But a whole generation that listened to an evil report died in the wilderness. And to let you know, this isn't just Old Testament. Hebrews chapter 4 warns us, mix the word with faith, because a whole generation didn't. And they died outside of God's inheritance, not hell. They died outside of God's inheritance that he had for them. Going to the other side is not a salvation issue. Going to the other side is a maturity issue. Going to the other side is coming into what God has for you. And going to the other side is coming into fulfillment. I love promises and prophecies, but I like them better when they're fulfilled. Jesus was the fulfillment of all the promises and prophecies of heaven. And he told Joshua, it's time for you and all these people to go to the other side, to go through Jordan. And a generation had died. Only Joshua and Caleb remained of that generation, because they were two of the spies that came back with a God kind of report. If I'm going to go the other side, if you're going to go the other side, we've got to be careful what we listen to and who we listen to. We've got to be careful what gets in our minds and what gets in our heart, because Paul didn't say, I can't do anything. He said, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. I wouldn't like it, but God didn't call Moses till he was 80. Or Abraham, imagine having a baby at that age. I'd really go out of my mind. But anyhow, Abraham. God's timetable can be a little strange to the carnal mind. But I'm telling you, God's time for you now is to go to the other side. God doesn't want you perishing in the wilderness. And one of the reasons they died, they said, look, the 10 spies, it's true, everything God said, but, notice a goat, but there's giants there. Let's look what was going on. When we walk in the flesh, when we walk in the natural and see giants, and I see mine too, and don't realize that they are defeated giants, we make the mistake Israel did. When God told them, you're going to the other side, you're going through, they said, we're not able. Joshua and Caleb, Numbers 13 and 14, said, we're able now. But notice when they sent in after 40 years, man, that was a long wait. I'm sure glad it's them and not me. After 40 years, I've been saved 45 years. It'd be a long time to wait. After 40 years, they didn't send in 12 spies, one out of every tribe. They sent in 2 spies. And Joshua chapter 2, it's amazing the way God operates. The way, the place the Lord had them go to and hide and get intelligence was in the local house of prostitution. Man, that be, don't put that in your Pentecostal evangel. That's not going to sound right. Hallelujah. We stayed in the hooker's home. Yeah, that's not going to sound right. But it's in the Bible. And the only woman that God was going to save with her family out of Jericho was Rahab the harlot. I said, Rahab the harlot. I tell you, when people are at the bottom, they're willing to look out, up and out. And Rahab, she must have, imagine God calls her a woman of faith. You know, some of you are so religious, you'd call her names I can't say from the pulpit. Or shouldn't say, but anyhow. You know, she just doesn't fit in our religious box. I mean, do you know what she's been doing? Yeah. But somehow, in the midst of her depravity, she wanted out. I said she wanted out. She wanted out. Revival started in Cambodia when a prostitute came to a friend of mine, and she got saved and said, come to my village. He said, I can't. I don't have the time. Memorize my sermons. Go back and tell all your former customers what God's doing. She did that. 200 people got saved and became the mother church of the whole Cambodian revival. Just a prostitute who agreed with God. A little different from the way I'd have done it if I was God. Thank God he's on the throne. I'm not. Joshua chapter 2. But here is Rahab, who the Bible would call a woman of faith, and she was going to have such an experience in God, she would become one of the spiritual mothers in the lineage of Matthew chapter 1, the lineage of the Lord Jesus Christ. God would put a hooker in the lineage of his son. I tell you, our God is a grace God. He doesn't play religious stuff. Our God plays redemptive stuff. All right? But here's Rahab, modern English, the hooker, the harlot, King James. In verse 9, this is what she says when they came looking. Are the spies here? No, I haven't seen them. Wait a minute. She was a hooker and she lied. And God called her a woman of faith. That kind of breaks some of the religious malarkey that we can buy into that say God can't use people like that. I want to tell you, when God decides to use somebody, he uses your junk and he uses your gold and he uses your failure and he uses your past, because that's what the transforming grace of God's all about. Those that wrote the most of the Word of God were two murderers, Moses and Paul. I mean, if I was writing about the crucifixion, I would have doctored it up. But said one of the people, they grabbed a hold of him, grabbed a hold of his coat, and the guy ran away naked. That surely wouldn't have gone in Charisma magazine too good. Hallelujah. But here, Joshua chapter 2, notice this. This is what Rahab tells them. And this is the thing we need to understand about going to the other side. Because going to the other side, there will be giants of fear, giants of unbelief, giants of rebellion, giants of religion, giants of poverty, giants of racism, giants of sickness. You can start naming your giants. I got a few of mine. Giants of anxiety, giants from my German bloodline, bitterness. There's giants we got to slay not just once. There's giants we got to keep slaying till we meet the Lord. Because there's a lot of land, personal and collective, we've got to take for the glory of God. But Joshua chapter 2, this is what the harlot told them, the hooker told them. And she said unto them, verse 9, she said to the men, I know that the Lord has given you the land, and your terror has fallen upon us, and all the inhabitants of the land faints because of you. For we heard how the Lord dried up the waters of the Red Sea for you. When did they hear that? 40 years before. when you came out of Egypt and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side of Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. As soon as we heard these things, our heart didn't melt, neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, He is God in heaven above and in the earth beneath. My goodness, that was a testimony of faith from a hooker. And it was true. She said, when we heard what God did for you 40 years ago, you know, the Israel says that the giants and Gentiles, we can conquer those giants. Truth of it is, for 40 years, they were causing those giants to have a nervous breakdown. For 40 years, those giants probably had to wear adult Pampers. I mean, they were living in fright. They were living in fear. They were living in intimidation. And you know what happened? Israel allowed that same spirit to get on them. What spirit's on you? Bitter, fearful, complaining, negative, religious, fried chicken, please. What are you on? What are you in? Can you break out of that way of thinking that you stop blowing up your problems and blowing up the giants? How many want to deflate the giants in this generation and say, get out of the way, I'm going to the other side. Get out of the way, I'm taking my inheritance. I don't care how many religious devils and church devils and racist bigots have stood in the way of God's people going in their inheritance. It's time to change all this for the glory of God. I'm going to the other side. Ask the church, the word of the Lord to you, this year is a year to get on a boat some of you have never got on, called the boat of the supernatural, Jesus intimately with you, and go to the other side. This is a year to listen to this testimony given by this hooker that the giants are scared to death of you. There is no courage left in them. All that's holding you back is you. And the timing of God. They couldn't go in to this land until God gave them the green light. May I say this? The green light is on. I said, the green light is on. Do you want to rise, shine? Because your light has come. Because the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Do you want to be a people that are a prophetic people and not a pathetic people? Do you want to go to the other side? I said, do you want to go to the other side? Do you want to go to the other side? There is this one... How would you say it? There's no nice ways. There's this one idiot. He was over in Asia, stoned out of his mind on drugs on a beach in Indonesia. If they'd caught him, he would have been in jail for years. He's stoned out of his mind, smoking dope. All of a sudden, God speaks. How many know God can speak when someone's on dope? Someone's in sin? When someone's living like a devil? How many know God still speaks? And he told this kid, go back to America and let Bill Norton be your mentor. Now, he didn't tell that to me. He told him that kid. So here I'm minding my own business in my home. And this kid was such a mess. He would go all over Asia, wouldn't take a bath for months. Once in a while, would jump in a river. That's how he'd wash his clothes. So he came to my home. I almost had to fumigate the house when he left. Even my dog stayed away from him. That's saying bad. But he plopped on my couch without my permission. And this is what he said. Notice how religious. Hey, man. He says, what do you want? Will you be my mentor? I almost passed out. We're going to be surprised when we go to the other side, the type of people God assigns us to. Some of you want constant care. You know, you need a pastor with a bottle feeding you all the time. But you're going to have to become responsible on the other side. And when some strung out kid comes in your home, you're going to have to realize we're not put here to do our own thing. We're put here to do the will of God. Amazing. I'm talking to him and all of a sudden the revelation came to me and I said, you were in sin with such and such a girl. And he turned white because no one knew that but God. See, when we go the other side, God gives us revelation not to expose people, but to deliver people. When we go the other side, what the enemy has been stealing from us, we take from him. We've allowed the enemy to steal our education, to steal our health care, to steal our government, to steal our morality, to steal. But I believe it's time to take back what doesn't belong to him, our promised land through and through. We have such a warped vision and version of Christianity. Even Muslims believe they're going to conquer the earth and impose their law. Well, that's just twisted lies. They're not going to conquer anything except the few buildings that they blow up. I want to tell you something. God says, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. The earth is the Lord's, Psalm 24, and the fullness thereof. May we get some kingdom vision and throw out our Pentecostal doctrines, and get a vision that God has for our life to go to the other side. Do you want to be Christians this year who say, get out of the way, giants, I'm crossing over Jericho because I'm going to the other side. I'm not going to oppose leadership. I'm going to walk with leadership because I'm going to the other side. I'm not going to live where my mama and father and granddaddy did. I'm going to the other side. I'm not going to live below my privileges in Christ. I'm going to enter into the victory of the blood because I'm going to the other side. And when I get there, I'm going to dethrone the demonic powers, and influence is going to spread tenfold, and I'm going to go and conquer where others gave up in a previous generation because I'm not going to buy into the lies of the powers of darkness. They don't have any defenses. God has removed it because of Calvary. And I'm going to listen to a good report, even if it comes through a hooker, because I'm going to the other side. Let's give God a victory shout today. Give God a victory shout today. Give God a victory shout today. Give Him a victory shout today. You're going to the other side. God says multiplication, not division. God says enlargement, not subtraction. God says advancement and not retreat is falling upon you as a church, because an increased anointing is coming to multiply all the seed that has been sown. You're going to the other side. Some won't heed it once, but the Bible says in Mark 4, there are little boats that follow the big boat. Some of you will wake up later, but those that are really awake will go get on the supernatural boat right now and go through any storm to arrive on the other side of authority, dominion, and revival, and influence, and inheritance. We're going to the other side. Can we say today in the spirit world, we're going to the other side? I said, we're going to the other side. We're going to the other side. Can you say in the Christian school, you're going to the other side? Can you say in your personal finances, you're going to the other side? Can you say in your marriage, you're going to the other side? Can you say in your church, you're going to the other side? Can you declare the word of the Lord? I am going. We are going to the other side. Peace be still. We're going to the other side. That's the word of the Lord for you this year. You're going to the other side. By God's initiative, the green light is on. Go to the other side. Don't be the multitude that He has to send away. Don't think you have to be perfect. They freaked out and panicked when they started going to the other side. But they found out God cared like they never knew. And they began to see the awesome authority of God before they got to the other side. When they got there, it was a given that that awesome authority that could still the wind and the waves could set the deepest, most bound captive free. And the influence of the kingdom advanced. Dear people, the promised land is ours if we stop believing the lie that the giants are victorious. They are defeated enemies, and we are victorious people. We're God's prophetic people, and we're going to the other side. Get out of my inheritance, devil. I'm going to the other side. And my children and grandchildren are going with me because I'm going to the other side. And when you send me, God, people I wouldn't want, I'm going to bring them on board because they're going to the other side. I don't think I have to go in the Greek and Hebrew. This is plain in the English. Yeah. We're going to the other side.
Hallelujah.
I said we're going to the other side.
The other side.
We're going to the other side. by God's initiative, by God's green light, by God's assignment. Every place you put your feet, dominion. Believe God for breakthroughs. Get rid of that wilderness mentality. Get some Canaan thinking. Go to the other side. Stop looking at the wind and the waves. Look at the one who is on board with you, the Lord Jesus Christ. The ship of full authority that's never going to sink because God has said, we're going, and thus you must go. And nothing can stop where God wants you to go if you just draw near to Him and believe the good report. Don't accept any evil report because God has a good word and a good plan. Amen. I said amen.